we thank the Lord tonight for his word. We thank you, Father. We give you all the honor and all the glory. And you may be seated. Give somebody a high five first. Hallelujah. So I want to thank the Lord this evening always for my salvation, for rescuing me from the pit and saving my soul, putting my feet upon a rock, establishing my goings, and giving me a calling. I'm so glad that I answered the call. One day after service, I was walking out. I didn't know this sister was new in the home. And she hugged me and she said, I was in the home years and years and years ago, and I didn't answer the call at that time, but I'm answering it now, and I want to thank God for you. Thank you for answering the call. And it just kind of struck me that, you know, it really is something that we should be grateful for. For those that have gone before us that answered the call, that were obedient and answered the call. And it was a sacrifice, amen? It was a sacrifice for many, many people, including ourselves. But I'm glad I did. I thank him every day that I answered the call, that my husband and I said yes to Jesus. So how many of you are familiar with the blessings and the cursings of God? Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 28. We're not going to read it all because it's a lot. But I do want you to do that on your own time. Pastor and I would like for you to study those scriptures. From verse 1 through 14, it talks about the blessings that are bestowed upon our lives because of obedience. And Pastor will be talking about those blessings. But I'm going to be talking about disobedience, and that's from verse 15 to 68. Woo, that's a lot of verses God's talking about disobedience. A lot of verses. And I think just the difference in the amount of scriptures alone tells us that disobedience to God is very, very, very important. Because how many of you know the enemy comes in a subtle way? Before you know it, you're disobeying. I mean, it just little by little by little by little it happens. He doesn't, you know, we don't determine in our heart to disobey God. We love him. We want to serve him. We want to be obedient to him. But little by little, the enemy will lure you into a life of disobedience. And I want you to understand that tonight. So open your hearts and your minds so that you can get a deeper revelation, so that you can get the breakthrough of a lifetime. Do you want a breakthrough tonight? I believe Wednesday night crowd is the crowd that comes to church because they want a breakthrough. Amen? I need a breakthrough. Amen. So when we think of the blessings of God, when we read in Deuteronomy, because it's blessed, everything's blessed. You're blessed going in, you're blessed coming out, your fields are blessed, your children's blessed, your health is blessed. Everything is blessed. And we think about those blessings, we think about in our human mind, we can't wrap our head around that. It's like, how can I be so good that I would attain those blessings? But it's not being good at all. It's being obedient. Amen? We must be obedient to obtain those blessings. The truth of the matter is that for Christians, it's actually the easier road. We want to say it's hard, but you know what? Get that out of your vocabulary. It is not hard to obey the voice of God, to obey him. It is not hard at all. In fact, I always say that my worst and hardest trial with Jesus is better than my best day without him. Did you hear that? Do you agree with that? You could not handle your stuff before Jesus. Most of us in this room turn to all kinds of things to cover that up. Turn to all that substance abuse and all that alcohol abuse and all those men and those women and all those things to try to fill that void when Jesus was and is the only answer. The only answer. So it can be overwhelming. But for others like myself, at one point, when God is really dealing with you about an area of obeying him, it's good to turn to these kind of scriptures. It's good for us to get some Old Testament truth in us and say, I'm cursed if I do this, and I'm cursed if I do that, and I don't want that. Lord, what do I need to do to turn it around? What do I need to do to make sure those curses are not upon my life? Because in the world, I was cursed. I had generational curses upon my life. I had 4 generations, 10 generations, 100 generations come to find out, because I was the first generation Christian. That's a heavy thing. Think about your life. Were you the first generation Christian in your family? It started with you. The curses were broken. Amen? Never do your children, your grandchildren, 1,000 generations, the Bible promises his blessings for you and your family. 1,000. That's a lot of generations of blessings that are to come. If you think about your children, they're not going through the things that you went through. They're not going through the heartaches. They're not going through the pain. They're not going through the suffering. I hope not. They shouldn't be. Unless you and I have opened a door, they shouldn't be. Amen? Because as long as we stay in the obedience of the Lord, in his flow of his grace and his mercy, then the blessings will follow. You may say to yourself, but that's the law. And we don't live by the law anymore. We live by grace. And you are absolutely right. You do live by grace. But as we study scriptures, we can see, because of our sinful, stubborn nature. Ooh, it's quiet in here. Because of our sinful, stubborn nature that likes to do its own thing, we have to get told sometimes. Amen? We have to be put in check. It's important for every day of your life to let God give you a heart check. Because it is deceitful above all things. And you can easily be led astray by emotions and things. Now listen to me tonight. This is a message about grace, and you're going to hear about it in a minute. You're going to really understand that living a life of obedience is living a life of grace. In Galatians 3, 19 through 25, which I want you to read again on your own because of the sake of time, we see that the law was given to us as a tutor to bring us to Christ. Did you hear me? The law was given to us as a tutor. All those things and those structures and those rules and those regulations that Moses wrote were given to us as a tutor to bridge us to Christ. So the law was sent to us as a tutor to prepare us for, the word tutor means this, it means a teacher without institutional connection who assists students in preparing for examinations. Woo, are you getting it? So the law was sent to us as a tutor to prepare us for the examinations that we will receive in our walk. Have you been examined lately? Has God put you in check lately? Then consider it all joy because God is with you. Amen? So in other words, there will be times of testing our obedience. Will I obey or will I not? Don't tune me out right now, because this message is either going to get you to your destiny, or if you reject it, and I'm not saying that I'm just the only person that could preach and this is, one of those ooh messages, but I'm saying, listen, God is saying something to you tonight. You don't want the enemy to lead you astray. You want to stay in the perfect will of God, don't you? All of us do. We want to stay in that straight and narrow road. So God's grace upon our lives will keep us in the presence, in the power, in the ultimate walk of obedience with God. So when those times of testing come, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you will pass the test. Amen? You will pass the test. But however, if you refuse to be filled with the Spirit every single day and you become unguarded by God's grace, then we open doors ourselves to the curses in Deuteronomy. Do you understand? Those curses are broken. They're off your life. They're over. But the minute you disobey and you start doing your own thing and you get into that place where you don't care, you resist God's authority in your life and you resist his voice, then you begin to open doors. We do that ourselves. Amen. For instance, our children, the curses are broken off their life. But if they choose to disobey and to open a door, then those things come back. That's a hard truth, right? That's a very hard truth. But we're searching and pursuing the blessings of God. We heard it tonight. Every time I turn around, the Lord keeps blessing me. And then you heard Larry do all the other verses in between. God is a God of blessing. God is a God of mercy. God is a God of grace, but we must remain in him to stay in that. Amen? It's never what he's trying to take from us, which is, you know, like some people may say, well, my personality, you know, God is trying to change my personality and it's just who I am. Or they always want my money and they're always trying to take my money and they always want my time. Victory Outreach is just too demanding. They always want my time. But rather, it's what he wants to give you in exchange for your willingness to give him those things. See the truth of that? We get it so opposite. That's why I'm saying it's so hard for us to wrap our human mind around the obedience of God. Because we think obedience is one thing when it's actually another. So I am blessed and satisfied. I'm healthy. I'm content. I'm full of joy. I'm a woman of God that is in love with the Lord. But I choose, and it's a choice every single day, to continue to live an obedient life in Christ. Can I do it on my own? No. Can you do it on your own? No. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can do it. That's where that scripture that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, that scripture's not just to finish a marathon. That scripture's not just to finish your day of work. That scripture is a lifestyle. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's your strength. The Holy Spirit is the power. He's the one that will do that, will give you the ability to live a life of obedience. Amen? So now that's grace, right? I would say that's grace at its finest, that Jesus, the one that lives inside us, the author and the finisher of our faith, living through us, will help us live that life of obedience. So you cannot blame anyone but yourself if you're not living a life of joy and blessings. Now, I'm not talking about the everyday trials that we will go through that will bring us down for the day, but I'm saying don't stay there. You don't have to stay there. God has given you the Holy Spirit to get you up and to move you forward so that you don't have to remain there. Amen? It's on a daily basis that we ask the Lord for his supernatural power, that we ask him to just strengthen us, that we ask him to be with us, that we ask him to check our heart, our motives, that we ask him to remove those characteristics in our life that would keep us from a life of obedience. That's what he's after. He's after changing your character. He's after making you more like him. And that's not an easy process. It's like clay, the Bible talks about. Now, he's the potter and we're the clay, and he'll be shaping us and molding us. And if he sees that there's some flaws in that, in our character, liken it to your character, then he'll throw you back on the potter's wheel and he'll start over. But we don't see that as grace many times. We see that as, oh, why is God always picking on me? Why are they always picking on me? Why is everybody always looking for our flaws and telling me what I shouldn't be doing and what I'm doing wrong and how bad I am? No, it's God. It's God. He's getting you on that wheel because he wants you to be more like him, to really live a life full of joy and mercy and grace. But he remember that Jesus paid the price for our complete freedom. But he left the choices up to you on how you get there. Did you hear me now? Jesus paid the complete price, but he left the choices up to you on how you get to that freedom. In other words, on your journey, there's going to be many things that will test your obedience. Many things. 28 years ago, God prophesied Deuteronomy 28 over my life. It was right around the time my husband got saved. At that point, I didn't want ministry anymore. I was barely involved in ministry. I wasn't a top-notch leader or anything like that. We were all in this together at that time. And I was struggling with a decision I had to make, to obey or not obey, to do or don't. And I chose above my feelings, above my circumstance, above my emotions and everything that I was going through and being pulled on to obey God. And I read the whole thing. I read the blessings, but I also read the curses. This isn't a doomsday message. This is a wake up to reality. There's some real things and real times of testing that will choose your destiny for you. That day I chose to obey God. It went against everything because obeying the Lord is humiliating. It's giving up your right to be right. It's letting Jesus be your lawyer instead of you fighting your own case. It goes against every fiber of our flesh. It's allowing His love in all forms to embrace you and shape you into the person you are destined to be, not the one the enemy has deceived you into becoming. And I remember making that choice and saying, just, okay, Lord, yes. Yes, okay, I'll obey. And the struggle of that shaping and shaping and shaping was a few years for me. I want to say the first 5 years of that decision to obey the Lord and the decision that would change my life forever for the good or for the bad was the biggest decision, but I'm so glad I made it because I would not be here today. I would not be here preaching to you today if I had disobeyed. And there's many times where you're going to be at that crossroad and you're either going to say yes and obey the Lord or you're going to say no and resist and resist and resist. And slowly but surely, the enemy will pull you into that deceptive life because there is a permissive will of God and there is the perfect will of God. The perfect will of God is a life of obedience and sacrifice. The permissive will of God is when God says, okay, you want to do it your way? Go ahead. I love you that much. I'm going to let you go and go do it your way. And He lets you go and He lets you go. But just in the nick of time, He pulls you in. How many of you have ever been in that situation? And it's okay to admit that because I believe everybody has been in that situation at one point or another. And just in the nick of time, before the enemy has complete victory in our life, the Lord and His grace and His mercy and those strings of love pulls you back to Himself. The Bible says it's His kindness that leads us to repentance. And all of a sudden we fall on our knees and we come to our senses and we say, what are we doing? I choose to live in the perfect will of God and not the permissive. Are you with me tonight? So, in essence, we are ultimately responsible for that outcome. We cannot blame anyone. We are working our own salvation out ourselves. The Bible says to do it with fear and trembling. That every day, not to be afraid of God, but to reverence Him and what He's saying and respect what He's telling you. And to let it go past your emotions and past your mind and past those places and to penetrate into the very depths of your life because He wants soldiers for the long haul. Amen? In Victory Outreach, we're building soldiers. And at times it gets tough because we have a tough call. We have a task of reaching treasures out of darkness. So our seriousness goes beyond the walls of the church. It doesn't stop here. We go on and we live that life pleasing to the Lord so that we can be used to our fullest. Do you want to be used to your fullest? You will be used to your fullest. So you may ask, okay. Or you may say, okay, I'll obey God, but I won't obey man. Well, let me remind you that we are only the tutors to school you so that you can pass the test. Amen? That's it. We're only the tutors to school you so you can pass the test. The choice is yours. Amen? The choice is yours. God bless you tonight.
Stand up to your feet if you could tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. You can be seated. I just want to make sure you guys are, you know, got your blood flowing. Amen. It's Wednesday night. What a message. I wanted to make the altar call and just not preach. But we're tag teaming tonight. It's kind of like, is there anybody here, you may be telling your age, anybody here that used to go to the wrestling matches over at the Civic Auditorium? Wow, more than I thought. Anybody remember Ricky Romero? How about Cyclone Negro? Man, those guys were bad, weren't they? What about Dory Funk Jr. and Terry Funk? Mac, settle down back there. Come back. Man, praise the Lord. I don't know how I got into that, man, but praise the Lord. I want you to take your Bibles real quick and open it, Deuteronomy chapter 28, and I want to read the first 14 verses real quick, and you're going to have to catch up to me, all right? Just open them and catch up. Deuteronomy, I mean, there's only one word like Deuteronomy, so you can't get mixed up where it's at. It's close to the front. Amen. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all his commands that I am giving you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the world, and you will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord. Wow, what a statement that the Lord makes to the people of God. He says, if you obey God, I'm getting ready to do something. Then he starts listing them. And I want to read it in the NLT, which is the New Living Translation. I really like that version. It says, your towns and your fields will be blessed. Your children and your crops will be blessed. The offspring of your herds and flocks will be blessed. Now, you remember, the Old Testament, in the old days, if you had a lot of flocks and you had a lot of herds and you had a lot of crops, you was rolling deep. Amen? And so he says, your fruit baskets and your bread boards will be blessed. Wherever you go and whatever you do will be blessed. Your Bible might say in verse 7, you'll be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. We were singing that song a while ago, blessed in the city, blessed in the field. Blessed when we, no matter what we do, every time I turn around, the Lord keeps blessing me. You know, some of you so badly could use a blessing. You could use a blessing right now. I was sharing with Brother Dave today that there was a time in my life when I was real young where I had everything going for me. I was making money. I was doing a bunch of extracurricular activities. I was starting for the football team at Valley High School. I had a job. I had my own place. I mean, I was just had money. I had a paid off car. And I remember one night, I totaled my car and my whole life just turned around. I was cursed from that day on. And when I met Sister Barbara, I didn't have a car. I didn't have no money. Man, I went from having all of that, and we just met. We just rolled up on each other, and we were in the same boat. We were full of curses. And you know what? It took a while. And I still didn't learn. Sister Barbara, like she said, for 10 years, she was seeking after the blessing of God and seeking it. And I didn't learn. I stayed stubborn and disobedient to the Lord. And I influence and impact much because of it. But here in these scriptures, I love what it says in verse 7, the Lord will conquer your enemies when they attack you. That means every time the devil hits your family, every time Satan comes and tries to put disease on you, every single time the devil tries to something against you, that God already has a plan against him. Already. You know why? Because he has you guarded. Because you're obedient. Because they will attack you from one direction, but they will scatter from seven. The Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do and will fill your storehouses with grain. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he is giving you. You know what that says? That's talking about the future. He's not talking about what you own right now. He's talking about what he's getting ready to give you. He says, oh, you'll be fruitful in the land I'm about to give you. The things I'm about to do in your life, you're going to be fruitful in them. You said, I don't see no fruit. Then all the nations of the world will see that you are a people claimed by the Lord. And they will stand in awe of you. And the Lord will give you prosperity in the land he swore to your ancestors to give you. blessing you with many children, numerous livestock, and abundant crops. And the Lord will send rain at the proper time. How many of you can use some rain right now in your life? Huh? You will lend to many nations, but you will never need to borrow from them. If you listen to these commands of the Lord, listen to me now. Let it focus here. If you listen to these commands of the Lord your God that I am giving you today, and if you carefully obey them, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you will always be on top and never at the bottom. How many tired of being on the bottom? Come on, somebody's got to get honest in this place. Somebody's got to be with me. How many tired of being on bottom? Constantly, man, all the time. You're always down in the ditch, man. So you know what? I need to get rid of that curse off my life. My friend, it is simple. The Bible says you must not turn away from any of the commands I'm giving today, nor follow after other gods and worship them. What is another god? What is another worship? Is it a statue? Is it a Buddha, Muhammad? What another god other than Jesus Christ? That they say God, Hare Krishnas, and what do you think it is? Another. Let me tell you what another god is. When God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses, he said, thou shalt have no other gods before thee. You know what he was saying? Don't you ever let anything else be on the throne of your heart other than me, the Lord says. And if you're putting a Corvette, money, lust, greed, anything above God, that's another god in your heart. That's an idol in your heart. That's another god. That's false gods. Ain't nothing wrong with having a Corvette. Wouldn't you like to have a 1957? Has the tiger teeth in front. My God, they're beautiful. But if you have one and you don't even drive it, you just worship it in a location that's more expensive than your house. And all you do is wipe it down. It's almost rubbed down to the bottom of the metal because there's nothing left, because all you do is worship it. That's having an idol in your car. Because you should take that thing out and run it. Man, them things are hot, man. They got that old school block, man. Some people worship things. Obey God. Let me begin to give you a couple more points before we begin to land this thing. How many know that we're on a mission at Victory Outreach? How many know the Church of Jesus Christ is on a mission? Because when we say Victory Outreach is on a mission, some people say, oh, well, there's the church. Yeah, well, you're right. But we're the SEAL teams. There's the Navy. And the Navy has all kinds of branches in the Navy. There's the Army, and there's all kinds. There's Corps of Engineers. In the Army, there's the guys that jump out of the planes, the Airborne Rangers. There's a lot of divisions in the Army. There's a lot of divisions in the Air Force. There's a lot of divisions in the Marines. That means the whole army of God is on a mission. Jesus Christ has commissioned the church to be on a mission to win souls and to build the kingdom of God. So having said that, how many know Victory Outreach has a mission? We're going to places that nobody wants to go. They drop us in at night. Huh? Our mission will always separate the committed from the casual. Always. It'll always differentiate the obedient from the disobedient. The ones who say, I'll go, and the ones who say, I'm not going to do that. Those on a mission always have a hunger. There's always an urgency in their heart. My pastor at his age, after being in the ministry for 50 years, still has an urgency. When he goes into a city, he still says, oh, we need a Victory Outreach here. We need a recovery home here. Why does he have such an urgency? So many years later, I'll tell you why. Because he has obeyed the voice of the Lord when God said, Sonny, I will give you the treasures out of darkness, the riches hidden in secret places. He obeyed that. He obeyed when he says, move to LA. I don't want you in New York City. I don't want you in Brooklyn. I want you in East LA. And I want you to start right there, and I want you to marry that Mexican girl right there. And I want you to plant a church. And I want you to go live in the recovery home for 14 years. And I want you to... And he said, yes, sir. And you know what? That's the anointing on those that will obey. When the Lord told my parents, start this church in 1985, that was 29 years ago, this past March 6th. My dad didn't say, nah, I don't want to do that, Lord. I just want to go to church. I don't want to be too committed. I don't want nobody telling me what to do. No, we started our ministry. And the Lord told me, Daddy, quit your job. I've given you that job. You're lucky to even have it because you could have lost it by now with the things you've been doing. I want you to give it back to me after 11 and a half years of being a firefighter. I said, yes, sir. I told Barb. She says, okay, no problem. I told my dad. My dad said, are you sure, son? I can't pay you a dime. I said, I don't care. That's not what I'm in this for. I'm obeying God. You see, people who are on a mission don't have time for games. You notice people on a mission don't get their feelings hurt too easy either. You know, they said, okay, I got to go. They're just moving. I say, man, how is it that Pastor Sonny, you know, I met these guys the other day. They were selling. By the way, if you ever buy stuff, selling guys from a home, selling stuff, that's not our home because we don't sell stuff. Right, guys? It says at 8:50 in the evening, these guys are out selling something, selling bread or something like that. And you know, my barber, he bought it from him. He goes, do you know who this is? You know who my barber is, right? He says, yeah, we're from this program. We're in this home, and we're out here. And it's like 8:50 at night. These guys are out selling stuff for the ministry. And like, what's going on here, you know? And so he goes, do you know who this guy? He goes, this is the pastor from Victor Outreach. I go, whoa. He says, we obey the voice of God. God said, I'm gonna meet your needs. And I want you to know something right now, that when God says, obey me, he'll always make a way for you to obey. It may not be easy, but he'll make a way for you to obey. And when he makes a way, if you obey, the blessings come afterwards. And so this evening, I've got a couple more minutes. I'm not going to be here too much longer. But in Genesis chapter 15, and I'm not going to read it, but in Genesis 15, we find the covenant from God, the promise that God gave Abraham, the inheritance, the destiny that he had for him. And he begins to speak to him, and God gives him a vision. And the Lord said to him in verse 4, no, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son. Because he had said, I don't have a son. I, this inheritance is blessing, but I don't have a son. I don't have a son. What good am I? And he was getting older and older and older. We know the story. He had a son later on. And God asked him to give up his son. He did. And he almost took him. And then the Lord stopped him and he blessed him. And I want you to know something. You either do or you don't. You either obey the Lord or you don't. There's no in between. Well, I kind of obey God, but I don't. No, it's either if you don't obey God, it's an absolute disobedience. If the Lord says at 3 in the morning, you get up and you say, I can't sleep. And you hear the voice of the Lord say, I want you to pray for this person. And you're like, I ain't praying for that person. I need some sleeping pills because I ain't going to stay up and listen to that. No. You better obey. God's getting ready to put a blessing on your life, but he's wanting to see what you're going to do with this. There's nothing harder than praying for your enemies. Huh? We see that God speaks to Abraham in that vision, and he strengthens him, and he encourages him about the promises he gives him. And in verse 3, Abraham begins to complain to the Lord. I don't have a son. In verse 4, God has to reestablish himself to him and says, yes, you're going to have a son. God's going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. He tells him, you have an inheritance. There is a destiny. So Abraham believes. He believes. He obeys, and he continues on. Let me ask you this question. When you have a bank account, many of you check your bank accounts online. You go to the bank, you check, how much money do I have in my account? But, you know, how many know if you have a bank account, you want to know what's in there, right? It's important to know what you have in your account, especially after Sunday's message. Hello, somebody. You want to know what comes in and goes out and all that stuff, right? And it's crazy because, you know, my question, I guess, to you is, what has God recorded in your account when it comes to obedience? See, next, the Lord begins to command him to bring an offering to the Lord. There in the end of that verse, chapter 15, verse 10, he says, now bring me an offering, because you're having a rough time understanding. So the only thing that's going to get a breakthrough is if you bring an offering. So he brings the offering. You notice this testimony tonight in the video that just starting off, the young lady's starting off. She's there. She's trying to get a hold of God. She's grown up in the church, but she's kind of drifted off, comes back to God, gets involved, and then God just says, challenges her. And that's what he does. He challenges us to see how we're going to act. He says, I'm just getting ready to pour out the blessing, but I really need to see. How many of you, your children, when you say, I want an iPad so bad. I want an iPad. I want an Xbox, please. Okay, we're going to see how you act, how your grades are going to be in school. And you see that those grades are not good, you say, you're not getting one. Why? Because they were hidden on some other device playing games on their phone or on your phone or on somebody else's phone every night instead of doing homework, so their grades are down here instead of up here. So you go to them and say, you know what? No, you did not do good, and you're not going to get that thing. And they cry, and they do everything, and hopefully you don't buy it from. But that's between you and the Lord, because nobody can tell you what to do. But if you're smart, you say, no, we're going to see next semester. And if you got good grades, we're going to see it again. So 3 months go by. Those grades are good. A's and B's. They come proud with their report card and they say, look, Dad, look, Mom, look, Uncle, look, Grandma, whoever you're taking care of. And they say, look, this is my report card. I was only tardy one time because you made me tardy. Because you didn't get up early enough. I missed one day because we had a conference and you didn't want to take me to school. And that's it. I got A's and B's. I'm doing good. It's averaging out. So what do? You go down to the store. You go down to the Apple store. You go down to Walmart. You go wherever you got that break, wherever somebody has a 10% card, whatever you got to do. You go down to that house. And you say, we're buying them one. Which one am I getting? I'm getting that one right there. I'm getting that game right there. I'm getting this thing right there, that Xbox, that. And you get it for them. They bless. And then they learn something. They walk away and they say, I was obedient to what my mom says, to my dad, and I got blessed because of my obedience. You see, the Lord will always establish his promises with us according to our, he doesn't just promise us if we're obedient. He promises us, and then he waits back to see if we're going to be obedient or not. His promises are forever. See, everything that God promises always hinges on obedience. Either you do or you don't. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, he says, if my people humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked way, then I will heal their land. You see how it has to be obedience that's attached to the command? If my people pray, if my people humble themselves, if they turn from their wicked ways, then I will heal them. See, the reason God accounted to Abraham, the reason God accounts to your life righteousness is because of his willingness. Abraham had a willingness to obey, but not just to obey, but to believe God. That has to do with faith. His willingness to bring the offering. His willingness to hear what the Lord had to say. His willingness to obey the voice of the Lord after he had a son. After all those tests that he had, and he finally has the son, he's walking in the blessings of God. He's singing that song. Every time I turn around, the Lord keeps blessing me. Every time I turn around. And he's just on a, man, the kid's 15 years old. 15 years go by. Sarah can't deny that God's always been with them. All the people of the land are blessed. The enemies are, they're like, man, stay away from Abraham because, man, this guy's got God on his side. The Lord's on their side. And he's walking around, man, 14 years old. Abraham, Isaac gets to 15 years old. And then one day he says, Abraham, I need to talk with you. Okay. We all good, God? He says, come on up this side over here. Come up to this side of the mountain. Good morning, Lord. I've been doing everything you said to do. I feel so blessed. He says, yeah, I know. You're blessed. He says, I want you to take your son Isaac, take him up to the mountain and kill him. I know I'm kind of saying it too fast. He said it a little bit easier than that. You know, take him to Mount Moriah and prepare the sacrifice. He goes, take him up there, tie him up to a rock, and sacrifice your son, Isaac. And at that moment, just the wind out of his sails, just the sail just, the balloon just empties. His heart just falls to the ground. Wow. What does he do? That's what's wrong with you, God. What does he do? But can I ask you a couple of questions? Why would you want to do this now? What does he do? Does he start questioning God? The Bible says earlier that he laughed at the Lord. Before Sarah ever laughed at the Lord, he laughed at the Lord. I'm too old to have a kid. And then later on, she laughs. And so let me ask this question. What does he do? Abraham, rather than question God, rather than try to justify, this is the son of promise, he says, hey, you two guys, come here. Get some wood, get some rope, get my sacrificial knife, get the fire. We're going on a little trip. We're going to make an offering tonight, tomorrow. Come on, son, let's go. Walking. I'm blessed in the city, blessed in the field. All the while in his heart full of aching pain, aching, because he knows what he's going up to do, but he's still singing. Blessed in the city. Because that's how obedience is. Sometimes obedience is so hard on the inside, but you can't show it on the outside. You just got to do it. See, he had a willingness to obey the voice of God. And here he is at this age, too tired for trials, too tired, yet he passes the test. Because that's the three things we must do. I want you to walk away from this meeting tonight, this message, this service tonight, this double barrel. Because see, Sister Barbara came and she with a double barrel shotgun and just unloaded on you. And you're just... Part of your spiritual, you got like little BBs all over the place. And right now I came and you said, huh, whoa, hold on a second. I understand what Sister Barbara was saying and about disobedience and all that, but hey, hold on a second. You're messing with my blessing. No, I ain't. You are. Don't be messing with your blessing. God wants to bless you. But it requires that you stay obedient. See, the first thing we must do is we must pass the test of obedience. Many of you have passed some heavy tests in your lives. Second thing we must do is we must possess an unwavering faith. We've got to. Our faith can never waver. I don't care what you go through. You can't waver in your faith. You got to stick to your guns. You got to stick to your faith. You got to stay believing. Even though you feel like giving up, even though you feel like quitting, even though you feel like running, you can't do that. You've got to keep your faith intact, because that's what obedience is about. Obedience is about saying yes, Lord, and then finishing with a yes on your lips. Not yes, Lord, then you know what? I can't do this. No, I'm not going to do this. Ain't nobody going to. What would the Lord ask of you to obey? Can you come to the keyboard, please? In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11, the Lord gave me this scripture this morning, and I was really blessed by it. Hebrews 6, 11. It was my devotion this morning. It's my personal, but I wanted to bring it tonight. Hebrews 6 and 11 and 12, and it says, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of the hope until the end. That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience, and that word in the Greek is the word makrothumia, which means to be long-tempered, to have a temper, to be lenient with God. Let's see. I know I'm starting to get mad at you, God, because you're not coming through, but I'm going to be lenient because I'm not going to be like that. It means endurance or to long, forbearance. See, if you want to inherit the promises God has for you, your wife, your children, your husband, your grandchildren, your family, your church, if you want to inherit those promises, if you want to fulfill your destiny, then you have to learn how to wait in obedience for God. You have to learn how to move when he says move and stop when he says stop. You have to learn how to be patient. Too many people give up and become sluggish just before God's about to open up the windows of heaven upon their lives. Just before the blessing shows up, they get up and move out of the position they're in, and then God comes and has to bless somebody else. There's a story I share. Would you stand to your feet with me? There's a story I share with the Holmes all the time, and because we have one of the best groups in the home we've had in a long, long time. I believe there's some pastors, evangelists, leaders, pastors' wives, leaders, women leaders that are going to be catalyst leaders that are going to lead in this church one day and in other churches, in churches that you get launched out to and things like that. Somebody asked me, are you going to retire anytime? I said, you know, I used to say, no, I ain't retiring until the rapture comes. I'm never going to rapture. I'm not retiring. I'll preach till I die. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and retire in about 12 years. I've got to turn this church over to somebody else. But I'm not going to stop preaching. Me and Mama are still going to get on the road. We're going to, I don't know if it's going to be a big old RV or a Harley. I don't know how it's going to be. Sister Barbara will ride the Harley and I'll be in the jump seat. Jump car, in a little car. But when that time comes, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go from church to church preaching at my spiritual son's churches and daughter's churches. I ain't going to never retire like that. I'm going to always preach the gospel. But this whole life, this whole ministry that we've been doing for 23 years has been about obedience. Tonight's about obedience. This week will be about obedience. This coming year is about obedience. The year of destiny for our church is about obedience. Do you think it's easy for me to stand up here on a certain month and look into a young girl like the testimony we heard tonight? But I know she's been in the church since she was a kid, but she's trying to make it back, and thinking in my mind, if I pick up a miracle seed, she might run out the door and say, oh, that's all they want. Do you think it's easy for me to stand up here and just say, see, we have to be led by the Lord. And when the Lord says to do it, we do it. And I don't care what anybody says or thinks. If God says do this, we do it. And even preaching about obedience, you know, this is old school stuff. And this generation has a hard time with this. Obey. What? That's an old word. That's like 70s, 60s. That ain't no word for like right now. This is like, you know, everybody's the same. No, the word of God is the word of God. It shall not return void. I'll tell you right now, God is still looking for people to obey his word. God is saying, still saying, obey me. And whatever area, there's a thousand things we could mention about what area of obedience that we have to be in. It's not just in coming to church and reading your Bible. Those are very important. They're crucial to your walk with God. But he's not just talking about that stuff. He's talking about just obeying God in the different areas of your life. If God says, and you're dating somebody, he says, God says, you're not marrying him. You better not marry him. If God says, I want you to quit eating like that, and speaks to you, not through Dr. Oz. This guy sometimes, you know, you're going to eat this, and I'm always making some money up there in that house too, right there, you know what I mean? You're like, Dr. Oz don't got all the answers. He's good and everything, but you know. But if God says, I want you to stop eating that, and you hear it in the middle of the night, and God says it, you better do it. If God says, I want you to go, and I want you to give that car to that family, you better do it. I'm always reminded of Tilly Mencheca. She came to our church. She was only here about, I don't know, 3 weeks. She was here 3 weeks, and we started preaching about, she said, I'm from San Jose, founder, Pastor Ed, Mitzi. I've been there. I was in the Duke of Earl. I was there. I've been there. I moved here, you know, family. And, all right, praise the Lord. 3 weeks later, we started picking up a building pledge to buy our land. And she came to us and said, the Lord told me to sell my car and to give the money to the church. I said, so you live in Santa Fe, though, so how would you come to church then? I'll worry about that when I get to, but here's the money. I'm like, I felt horrible. I go, how'd she get to stand up and be back? How'd she get to work? I don't got time to tell you how she got to work, but she flies all over the country right now. She pretty much has, I don't think she has her own plane, but, you know, the company she works for flies her all over the place. She lives in the most beautiful part of the country, and she had to move. The Lord said to move, and she said, I got to go. She's like, why? Don't go. Don't you got another car you want to give us? I'm just saying, there's 1,000 different ways we can talk about obedience tonight. I'm just saying, obey God. Just whatever God says, obey Him. If God says, I want you to get up early in the morning and start praying over your spouse, do it. If God says, I want you to stop doing this, stop doing it. If God says, I want you to start doing this, start doing it. That's what this message is about. This message is about getting God's blessing, because God wants to bless you. He just wants to bless your life. He wants to bless your family. He wants to bless your marriage. If God says, I want you to be a children's pastor, I want you to study, and I want you to go to conferences on your own. I want you to become a children's pastor for the next 10 years, a pastor of children, not of prestigious in the front and church. I want you to, you better do it. If God says to do something, you better do it. If God says quit your job and go to the ministry, do it. I did it. But He don't tell everybody that. And be real careful about emotions. Be careful. You got to confirm it through the Word, through the Spirit, and through your leadership. Amen? Bow your heads with me. Tonight, Lord, this shotgun message tonight, Sister Barbara laid a tremendous foundation about obedience and disobedience. And Lord, we're a people that our nature is just sometimes to disobey our bosses, our parents, our people. It's in our nature because we're human. I'm so glad you don't kill us, Lord, for disobeying you so many times through the years. I'm so grateful for the grace that you have on us. I'm so grateful that you provided a sacrifice that day when Abraham walked up the mountain with his son. But even more so, in the parallel, I'm so grateful that you provided a sacrifice, an offering for our sins on that road up to Golgotha, up to the place they call the skull, to place Calvary. And you shed your blood. You died. You were obedient all the way to the death, Jesus. You obeyed the Father. You obeyed your love for us. And I pray tonight, God, that if anyone is battling with disobedience in their lives towards you, that tonight would be the night that we would just give it up and just lay it down. Lay down our Isaac at the altar tonight. Because either we do or we don't, Lord. And we want to obey. We want to obey you. We want to obey your voice. We want to hear your voice, and we want to obey it. So tonight, from all of this place, I'm going to ask you to begin to sing this song. God has ministered to you through these two messages. Then I'm going to ask you from all over this place to make your way to this altar. Find a place and say, Lord, I want you to say, I want to deal with my disobedience tonight. Oh, I want to say, Lord, forgive me for not obeying what you say to do, God. So for doing it my own way, oh God. For not hearing you, Lord Jesus. For not seeking you for direction, God. Or for when I've heard you, I have not done what you said to do, Lord. My desire tonight is to obey you, God. To be an obedient servant of God. I want my family blessed. I want to be blessed. I want my children blessed. I want my community blessed. I want my church blessed. Give your heart over to Him. Give it over to Him and say, God, I obey you. Oh, I give myself. Oh, so you, my life is not my own.